On September 21st, 2013, a missionary by the name of Philip Walton was awoken at 6 a.m. at his home in North Carolina. Calling him at 6 a.m. was a very good friend of his to report that there was a terror attack in the Westgate Mall in Nairobi, Kenya, and that Philip's wife and five children were at that mall. Terrorists were randomly walking about, killing innocent people in the mall. Philip was alone and 9,000 miles away from his family. There was nothing he could do to help. In agony, Philip had a sense of total hopelessness. But Philip, being a Christian, began to pray, and as he did, he opened his Bible to Psalm 40. Reading the psalm, Philip later said it gave him an inspiration of hope. He began to sing a song written about Psalm 40 by Bono, which was entitled 40, which begins with the first four verses of Psalm 40, which we will study tonight. These are the lyrics to the song that 40, which was written and sung by Bono. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He brought me out of the pit, out of the mire and the clay. I will sing a new song. He set my feet upon the rock and made my footsteps firm. Many will see and fear. I will sing a new song. How long to sing this song? It was 3.5 hours before Philip Walton would know that his wife and five children were rescued and were safe. During the terror attack, his two sons were actually separated from their mother, and the mother held the three children in a small little cubby as she hid from the terrorists. After the family was reunited, Philip was asked by a TV reporter how he managed during the 3.5 hours as he waited. Philip gave testimony that in addition to reading Psalm 40, praying, and continually singing the Bono song 40, Philip stated that there is a measure of grace that comes to us in difficult times. King David understood that measure of grace. He too was compelled to sing a new song. In Psalm 69, verse 30, David writes, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. So let's read Psalm 40 together. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice a meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Thou, O Lord, will not withhold thy compassion from me. Thy loving kindness and thy truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, "Aha, aha." Let all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let those who love thy salvation say continually, "The Lord be magnified." Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. In order to gain context of where David was when he wrote this song, perhaps, it's important to look at two psalms that precede verse 40. So if you just turn in pages probably for you and your Bibles to Psalm 38, verse 17. This is David under the heavy burden of sin. For I am ready to fail, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I confess my iniquity. I am full of anxiety because of my sin. But my enemies are vigorous and strong, and many are those who hate me wrongfully. Now I turn forward to Psalm 39, verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, a sojourner like my fathers. Turn thy gaze away from me, that I may smile again, before I depart and end no more. And here, in this verse, we see how David is lamenting the fact that life is short. So when we begin to reflect on Psalm 40, we see a transition in David's conversation with the Lord. David has turned his plea for deliverance into a song of praise. David's heart song indicates that he waited patiently. The word patiently indicates, this word patiently used by David indicates that his suffering, which surely seems like a definition of long suffering, was built on trust in God, and he expected to be delivered. Commentaries differ on what David was delivered from. Perhaps it was a long sickness. Perhaps it was an escape from Absalom, who was chasing him. But David gives praise to the manner in which the Lord responded. He inclined to me and heard my cry. And as we heard Rhonda's testimony a few minutes ago, I'm sure that she would say that the Lord inclined to her and heard her cry. Has anyone else here tonight experienced such a personal interaction with the Lord that as you cried out to him, as you doubted his presence, as you waited perhaps impatiently, that you too felt the Lord extending his being to your ear, eager to hear your cry, willing to demonstrate his love for you? Did he not demonstrate his love for you, as we read in Romans 5, verse 8, that while we were yet sinning, Christ died for us? I've never really experienced being in a pit of destruction in miry clay. My single most significant experience that I can even compare to was when I was reassigned from my position as superintendent of the Springfield facility. There came a night when I was packing up my office, packing all my belongings, carrying a small box out to my car, when I departed the facility for the last time. This had been a dream of mine to open the Springfield facility, and had many years looked forward to that occasion. But as I entered the car that I just recently purchased, I tried to start the car and it would not start. I tried everything. I called Ellie, and truly I was in a panic. The thought of walking back into the prison to ask for help felt to me like it would be a great humiliation. Talking to Ellie was calming, and I believe we prayed. After that, I tried something different, put my foot on the brake, turned the key, and the car started. I would drive away to a job in St. Johnsbury, which was an hour and a half away, for 3 years, driving up Interstate 91 with not seeing a car, hoping to see an animal, something crossed my path. I was continually in a pit of despair. My dreams of continuing my career as superintendent of the Springfield prison had been shattered. But God had a purpose. For 3 years, driving to St. Johnsbury, I would listen on my radio on the drive up. First, a message from Alistair Begg, to be followed by a message from Charles Stanley. Truly, the Lord blessed me and set my feet on the rock. We don't really know what this reference is to a pit of miry clay. Many reference commentators speculate that it might have been, as was in those times, an empty cistern, an empty well, and at the bottom of it would be this clay. But we, as we read, we certainly see an allusion to darkness, to desperation and calamity that David felt. But the Lord would be faithful to David. And has he not been faithful to you? Are your footsteps firm in the hope, an everlasting hope of salvation, an eternal rest upon the rock, Jesus Christ? Are you singing a new song today? A song that most importantly others might hear? One that carries the echoes of praise for the times that you were rescued and pulled out of a pit. I want to read a passage from Psalm 27, verse 5 and 6, from which we too can rest. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me on a rock. And now my head will be lifted above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing praises to the Lord. Verse 5 of Psalm 40, if you look at that. David extols the many works God has done, not just solely for him, but for all the Lord's people. We also read in Job chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, "But for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause, who does great things and unsearchable things, wonders without numbers." Now, if you jump further ahead to Psalm 139, I will read verses 13 and 14. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So our question tonight is, what does our praise sound like? I can tell you from a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in the Tuesday night prayer group, as Joan and Carol were praying and praising God, long, long praises of thanksgiving that really stirred my soul and really prepared me to go down and be with the elders and with the brothers and deacons. But it was this effusive praise that came out of their mouths that God had inspired for that evening. And here we see in this psalm David's praise for God, opening his ears. What an expression. And should we too not be inspired to hear God's call to obedience, dedication to service? In verses 6 through 10, David writes of the foreshadowing work of Christ. Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. One commentator proposed this, which I support from the word of Jesus, that Jesus fulfilled all the law and the offerings. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross fulfilled all offerings and sacrifices. Jesus paid it all. In David's statement, "Mine ears he has opened," the author wrote of Jesus like this: Jesus had revealed the secret of the offering and the sacrifices, and he too has made us able to hear and understand. The offerings in the temple, the sacrifices in the temple and in the tabernacle were but a shadow of the one true sacrifice, Jesus Christ our Lord. End quote. In verse 8, David declares his delight to do God's will. And in my Bible, it's actually the subtitle of Psalm 40. His delight was to keep the law within his heart. And many believe that it was the Holy Spirit that inspired reference to who was to come, to Jesus, the Savior, doing the Father's will as he prayed in the garden in such obedience. And from the book of Matthew, we read chapter 26, verse 39. This is Jesus. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." For obedience was written on the heart of David, and it caused David to delight in doing God's will. I would love to testify that at the time that I was in the pit following my transfer, that I too delighted to do God's will, knowing confidently that God had a plan for me. But in my foolishness, I struggled with it, not trusting God. But God did have a better plan for me, because after the 3 years in St. Johnsbury, I was actually promoted and went to a position in Waterbury. God had a better plan. And I think his primary plan was the sanctification that I received through the preaching of Pastors Begg and Stanley. When we are delighting to do God's will, we are joyful. And our standing is secure, giving testimony to our faith, as in verse 9, where David proclaims the good news. In the great assembly, telling our friends, lifting up the people around us, demonstrating our own faith when we have endured trials. Those praises, that praise for God, for his everlasting provision. The prophet Isaiah exclaimed this in chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. "Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, his reward is with you, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock in his arms. He will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." What a beautiful image that is of our Heavenly Father. If this is your image of your Heavenly Father, then peace is your demeanor. Trust is all ablaze in your daily walk. Love is your motivation. Obedience is your daily design for your life. You too will no longer fear your enemies as David did, as we read in verse 12. You will not walk with your head down, bowing with the weight of sin, for you are more than a conqueror. For it is the Holy Spirit that assures us of our final victory. If you will, you can turn to Romans 8, verse 37. There, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to close now with the words from the song that I heard in Cape Cod last week from that songwriter and singer. He entitled his song, which was written in reference to Psalm 40, "Be Strong." We know that we will suffer. We know that we will face trials and persecutions. Because we too, like David said, are sojourners in this world, and life is but a blur. But whenever you find yourself in a storm, as David did, Psalm 37, 38, the singer reminded us to remember these words: be strong, be not afraid, for the Lord is soon on his way. He will break through and tear through the dark. I remind my soul. Does your soul need a reminder of God's deliverance in your life? And most importantly, does your daily walk give evidence of a faith that endures? Let us pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this psalm. We thank you that for many of us here, it has a different meanings, Lord. And within those different meanings, Lord, there is peace and trust in you. There is remembrances of how you delivered us from the pit that we were in. For many of us, it was a pit that we had difficulty dealing with. And we did question you, Lord. Forgive us for that questioning. Forgive us for not trusting you, Lord. For not believing in the hope that lies within us. We thank you, Lord, that even as we read this psalm tonight, we remember David, who many times was given to agony, pleas for deliverance, a submission to you for his sin. And we see in David, we see ourselves, Lord. We see a man who is beset with trials and temptations, as are we. But Lord, most importantly, we see a man, a king, who chased after your heart, Lord. A man who would do anything he could to give praise to you. Help us, Lord, to give praise to you in a bigger congregation, the world outside, our friends and our neighbors, Lord. Help us to sing a new song. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.